Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Dustin Hockensmith with Greg Pickle again here. We are looking in the second half of the show, starting off a series, looking at the redshirt freshmen on Penn State's roster. And by my count, there is 16 who redshirted as true freshmen last year. We had, you know, departure or two. We had some guys play. But just looking at the guys who were developing behind the scenes and just refreshing who we thought them to be as when they were recruits, and maybe what we know about their first year on campus to determine, you know, what's in their future and when does their future begin, really? When can we expect them to start making an impact on the field? And really, Greg, the group as a whole, there's a lot of optimism around a lot of these guys. And yeah. I'm sure if we had done this with the 2016 recruiting class, maybe we would have felt the same way. But really, the 17 class wasn't Penn State's best under James Franklin.
No.
But they seem to have gotten, at least from how they're posturing publicly, they seem to have gotten a lot of guys that they love.
Yeah.
That maybe recruiting services didn't quite love as much as they did.
No, that's exactly right. And, you know, this is where you get into that weird thing where, you know, Penn State likes to promote the star ratings and all that kind of stuff. But at the same time, they also have to trust their own evaluations. And sometimes those are going to differ greatly one way or the other from the recruiting services. So, yeah, at the end of the day, all that matters is how the production on the field works and all the stuff that was used to evaluate the merit of giving a scholarship to a kid before he gets to campus is not wholly irrelevant, but something fairly close to that. So, yeah, I mean, I think that this group, when you go back and look at it, there were some names in here that I think you thought maybe would do a little bit more in terms of maybe getting onto the field, but there were some other guys that were close and didn't, for a variety of reasons, make it onto the field as true freshmen. And I think there's a few guys in here, too, that would have benefited from the new four games and you can still redshirt rule that is currently in place a year ago.
Yeah, and you know, there's certain some things that you can't really forecast or project. I think if we want to start with our first guy here, Damian Barber, at some point in time, I thought he would be a good defensive tackle. At some point in time, I did. I'm not going to go back through all the tape of our show here, but you look at the frame that
somebody out there take care of that.
Somebody do that. Yeah, we've got the six or eight people who listen to us pretty regularly go out there and try to find that for him. But his frame just stood out to me because his shoulders were really broad. So he was 6'3", I don't know, 235 pounds, 240 pounds. It looked to me like he had a shot to beef up and move inside. And
yeah,
that is what happened. We didn't get a lot of lead time on that. It's like before you knew it, Damian Barber was a 280-pound defensive tackle. But that's where he is right now. And he's as a redshirt freshman, I'm not sure if he factors into the depth chart necessarily high up this year. I think he's going to be there. The one thing I think bodes well for him, I don't think Penn State's got a lot of three technique disruptors on the depth chart. And I think that he's got a lot of stuff to learn, but at 280 pounds as a good broad shouldered athlete with long arms, he's interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know when that starts to play out. It might mean not be 2018. Maybe you're looking at more 2019 and beyond, but if it continues to go the way that it seems to have gone so far, this guy could be a really big factor down the road.
Yeah, there's no question about that, Dustin. I just think that when you really look at all the things that he's done since he got to campus, he's really put in a lot of work to get to the point where he's moved from defensive end to defensive tackle. He just looks bigger and bigger every single time you see him. I agree with you that he probably won't see too much run this year, but you just never know. This is a weird sport where sometimes guys hit their stride at the last second and become playmakers that you weren't expecting. He's certainly on the short list of the program's potential guys to do something along those lines. So, yeah, we'll have to wait and see, but I do believe that Damian Barber is going to make an impact for Penn State. Maybe not this year, but certainly at some point down the road. They've built him up to the point now where he should be at least big enough to get in there, and now it comes down to the finer things and the you know, the little points that'll make him a successful tackle.
It's going to be a technique-driven thing in that close proximity to the your opposing lineman. It's going to be a technique thing. I can't help but look and try to find a comparison. So Anthony Zettel was the first guy to do this.
Yeah.
Penn State has been doing this kind of out of necessity for a while, but I now think that moving guys inside from defensive end is a matchup situation, and it's a luxury item now. They don't need to do that for the sake of depth. When they identify a guy who can make that transition, there are a few transitions that Penn State feels comfortable with guys making. One's from cornerback to safety. I think that the safety to linebacker track is real. Jarvis Miller and Koa Farmer are two examples there. And then defensive end to defensive tackle, where you can bring something unique to the equation.
Yeah.
But I look at Curtis Cothran and with Damian Barber and think, boy, if it plays out the way I think it should play out, Damian Barber is going to be better than Curtis Cothran. I'll say that.
Fair.
You can't compare anybody to Anthony Zettel. I'm not going to go there. But Curtis Cothran gave you 2 years of pretty good snaps. I think Damian Barber can be better than him.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't argue with that at all. Again, it'll come down to the finer points and whether he really masters the fundamentals of it all. But certainly, it appears that he's headed in the right direction to be able to do just that.
And you remember going back really about a year ago at this time, we had no idea if Damian Barber was even going to make it to campus.
Right.
His eligibility, all that stuff came down to the wire. He got on campus, I think it was in July last year, right?
Yep.
As late as he could possibly get on campus, he
Correct.
Got there. So I wouldn't say it put him too far behind, but it set this tone that you can't really expect anything from Damian Barber.
Right.
And now I think he's changed that tune.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I'm right there with you, Dustin.
The guy we talked about Ellis Brooks a little bit in the previous segment, just looking at the linebacker picture. He's a guy who his recruitment was meaningful. You know, I think Penn State took another little hit on the recruiting trail when what's his name now? Dylan Rivers decommitted, flipped to Virginia Tech, and then I think it was less than a week later they had gotten Ellis Brooks on board, who by most standards was a better prospect than Dylan Rivers was, and it changed the narrative on Penn State's linebacker recruiting at a time where I think they needed to change the narrative a little bit.
Yeah,
they also brought in a guy who was, you know, pretty stout physically, pretty ready to make a transition to college. Reminded me a lot of Jason Kabinda from a skill set and from a frame point of view. And so now you have him in the fold. Probably, I guess you could call him the favorite to start inside. We don't really, you know, we'll learn more about that in the coming weeks. But he's a guy who's going to be a factor this season. And he really, when it comes down to it, he could be a huge factor this season.
Yeah, I think so. And I think there's a couple of guys like that in this class. You just look at the group as a whole. And I mean, there's some guys coming off of redshirt seasons here, Dustin, that really, it would be disappointing, I think, if they don't take a step forward. You know, I think there's people looking for Matt Kippenhammer to maybe take some kind of role in the offense. Journey Brown appears to be a speedster that can do something in the return game and give something for the Lions there as they try and move on from Saquon Barkley. Donovan Johnson's a name. KJ Hamler, two guys that have been, you know, Donovan Johnson more under the radar. KJ Hamler probably more, you know, the whole world has made him their breakout pick. But, I mean, those are two guys that look like they could have a role. Tariq Castro Fields, I mean, I think you'll see him on a very high percentage of Penn State's plays per snap, or plays per series, rather. I just think they're going to use him a lot in the passing game. And then, you know, Itur Gross-Matos is a guy we've talked about a lot as well. But, yeah, when you talk about Brooks specifically and how he can make an impact, I do think that the one thing that Brent Pry has to figure out is how does he want to use – how much does he want to play the 4-2-5 and just basically have two linebackers on the field and five defensive backs versus how often he wants to stay in base. That'll really tell us how often, you know, he's going to – because, look, if they're going to do 4-2-5, it could very easily be Micah Parsons and Koa Farmer for, you know, a good majority of the snaps. If they're going to run three out there, you're going to see Cam Brown. You're going to see and you'll see Cam Brown regardless. But I think that, you know, the one question when it comes to that linebacker group is how many of them are going to be on the field. You know, what's going to be more likely for two of them or three of them to be on the field? That'll tell us a lot about how a young guy like that's going to be used.
Well, and as, for all the good you can see making a comparison to Jason Kabinda, one of the things that Kabinda has had to answer is, can he be more than a two-down linebacker?
Right.
That's going to be one of the things you're going to have to watch with Ellis Brooks moving coming forward too. How about DJ Brown? So I coming from Georgia as a three-star who, you know, one of those 5'10", 175-pound kind of guys that Penn State is more than willing to take on. You make the comparison to Grant Haley a little bit. I think Grant Haley as a high school player was faster than DJ Brown was, but Brown, just good instinctive cornerback. I don't know what the future holds. I also can't help but imagine if Grant Haley were a three-star cornerback recruit in the 2017 class, how would his career have panned out? Because part of, you know, Grant Haley is really meaningful to Penn State's recent history. He got an opportunity early because Penn State just didn't have any numbers at the cornerback spot.
Right.
That has changed a little bit. And so with DJ Brown, if he could be compared to Grant Haley, is in this. He's going to be in a fight for his life, you know, right away, because Penn State has some really good players who are a little bit more highly acclaimed than him, who are maybe faster or longer or bigger or tall or whatever. He's going to have to prove that he can stick like glue in coverage. And there's just no way for us to know that right now. He hasn't been a big talking point over this first year.
No, he hasn't. And I don't know if that's because there's so many other guys there, if it's because they've been moving pieces around in the secondary and switching guys from corner to safety, and that's sort of taken over the talking points. But yeah, I completely 100% agree with you that we don't know much about him at this point. He was a guy that committed to Penn State, not out of the blue, but kind of out of the blue. So I think he's more of a development guy that you hope to eventually get something out of, but I don't think you figure that was going to be anytime soon.
Real quick on Journey Brown here. He's another guy where you can see the writing on the wall that there's these big time players coming through. I'm not sure if he's ever going to be a front and center 1A or 1B, but his speed is tremendous. Maybe raw as a high school player, played in the small school ranks and in Meadville, and wasn't seen by a lot of colleges, and had some academic stuff to clear up. But there's some clear value here. I just don't know if it's a down to down value. I don't know if that means kickoff returns. I don't know whether that means change of pace guy or some role in between. But with Ricky Slade and Miles Sanders and Devin Ford and this running back pipeline, he's going to be a compliment. I just don't know how big his role can get and how quickly it can get there.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. I think I would be a little bit disappointed if he wasn't used in the return game. He just has the makings of a guy that can do that, Dustin. He just, you know, again, I think that he will be able to be utilized in that. And they need somebody to be, quite honestly. So if he can't do at least that, it'd be disappointing. As for the running back job, I think it just depends. You know, there's a lot to figure out there as it relates to what Penn State's going to do behind Miles Sanders.
All right. Well, hey, that's the first part of the series. We're going to get to all the redshirt freshmen from the 2017 recruiting class as we go along in the coming weeks. You can check that out, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. For now, we're taking a quick break. We're going to move on. We're going to take a stand coming up after this. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you, so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
If you're looking for the largest selection of beers in the area, it's time to head on over to Route 15 Beverage Express in Dillsburg. Conveniently located right off Route 15, you will also find a great selection of local and craft beers, and you can take care of all your barbecue needs, as Route 15 Beverage now carries the great 409 Tailgate Club sauces and rubs. Head over to my favorite place, Ross Tucker, Route 15 Beverage Express. Convenient location, largest selection, and great service.